Within the power, the local economic and social elites gradually found themselves having to share their authority, to share participation in the political process with more and more townspeople. As the towns became more volatile, as the towns became more violent, what began to happen is, now we're almost reminded of that ancient cycle that we talked about so many times in some of our earlier lectures. An expanding political power, an oligarchy that was becoming something like a democracy, began to degenerate into a mob rule, which then led to despotism. So that as our period ends, say around 1300, nothing sacred about that date, but around 1300, many of the Italian communes are actually dominated, by despotic rulers who have come into being as a result of the political violence and volatility of these towns. Nevertheless, and to repeat, Italian towns were among the most creative political phenomena in the High Middle Ages. Germany is yet another case with all its own variations. It'll require just a little bit more of our attention. Germany, what on earth does that mean? The German lands, the lands that eventually become one or another of the many Germanies that have existed, were, of course, outside the territory of the Roman Empire. This was an area, in other words, quite simply, that had no infrastructure. There was no heritage of towns. There was no heritage of roads. There was no heritage of organized government inside these German territories. The Carolingians, of course, as we have seen, extended their authority considerably to the east into the German lands, but Carolingian power lasted only a relatively short time. And in an area that was very large and overwhelmingly rural, even by medieval standards, when the Carolingians come on the scene, for example, probably 5% of German land was in cultivation. 5%, a very small amount of it. The Carolingians then just didn't have time to introduce a deep, permanent, stable sense of authority and effective institutions. Now, when the Carolingians died out in 911, the last Carolingian ruler died, the various German dukes, Germany was divided up into five major territories, each of which ruled by a duke. The dukes came together and chose the most powerful of their number, the Duke of Saxony, as their king. Now that's significant because obviously the Germans were trying to retain some sense of royal authority, particularly in the face of external foes, as we'll see in just a second. They didn't abandon monarchy. They chose one of their strongest numbers to be the monarch. Now, for a century, the Saxons, the Duke of Saxony, was the first person chosen king in this post-Carolingian realm of Germany. Or we sometimes call them the Ottonians, because the second, third, and fourth rulers are Otto the First, second, and third, built effectively the strongest state in 10th century Europe. And then that state collapsed, one of the great ironies of medieval political experience. The Ottonians built on the basis of a few very basic policies, which they pursued quite consistently over about a century. They fought successful wars against their Viking, Slavic, and Magyar neighbors, indeed winning a great victory in 955 over the Magyars. They very tightly controlled the church, believing, perhaps the best Carolingian tradition, that the king was the specially chosen agent of God, that ruling the church was his particular responsibility. They gained immense prestige by being crowned emperors in 962. Again, very much in the Carolingian tradition. But these dukes of Saxony had something now that no other duke had, to be sure, but indeed no other ruler in Europe had. They used very effective marriage alliances. They used diplomacy and from time to time outright intimidation to attempt to exert control over the other dukes inside Germany. So the Ottonian state was promising in many ways, and I think it would be easy to say that if we took a vantage point almost anywhere in the 10th century, we would say Ottonian Germany was the most powerful state in Europe. And yet the Ottonian system failed. Failed for several reasons. Military expansion ended. The dynasty died out in 1002. Now this would happen again in 1024, in 1125, and in 1250. Again and again and again, German families did not produce continuity of rule. Now, we saw in England that that might not be devastating. England had other stabilizing resources. We saw in France that dynastic continuity was a very powerful inducement to the building up of the power of the monarchy. The Germans never got the chance. Families just died out. The rulers never found a formula that let them exert real control over more than one or two of Germany's five main duchies. The king was always duke of one of these realms, But the other dukes didn't really have to answer to him. And that produced a very curious political problem, how to exert authority in the other duchies.